We're holding on Daf Kuflam and Gimel and Beis. We are a few lines before the end of the page. We are up to Motzitzin, about six lines before the end of the page. Today, after we discuss Metzitza, which is obviously the end of yesterday's Daf, we're going to discuss a number of activities that one cannot do on Yantif the same way that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Do not fall into the category of Ochel Nefesh for whatever reason. There's going to be a lot of refuah on today's Daf. We're going to have seven bits of advice from Abaye's nurse who raised him, Umra Li Aim, where Abaye quotes his adoptive mother, beginning with how to apply the bandage to a baby's Mila, and ending with advice on dealing with babies that have unusually red or yellow skin color. So relates to Mila, that's why these bits of medicine are here in Reb Lazar de Mila. And then the Mishnah on Beis discusses whether it's permissible to bathe a baby before, after, and 3 days after the bris milah, which leads the Gemara to discuss whether the permission to bathe extends to the baby's entire body or only to the area of the bris when we're going to bathe the baby on Shabbos. And the daf concludes with the machlokas, whether warm water may be applied directly on a wound on Shabbos or can only be placed near the wound because of a concern for refuah that it might be a violation of medical treatment on Shabbos to apply it directly. So that's the basic outline of what we're going to discuss today. So let's start with the Tzitza, Motzitzin. The Mishnah had said that there are three parts to the Mila, and you're allowed to do all of them on Shabbos. You're allowed to do Mila, you're allowed to do Priya, and you're allowed to do Mitzitza on Shabbos. Mitzitza is sucking out the blood. So Amar Rav Papa, Hai Umla Dolomayitz, Sakanu Vavrinan Lai. Ula says if you have a Moel who doesn't do Mitzitza, it's a Sakana, he's putting the baby in danger, and he should be fired. He shouldn't be a Moel anymore if he's not doing Mitzitza. So it says Gmar Pshita, Mitkam Mechali Ala Shabbata, Sakanuhu. Obviously, if you're allowed to be Michal Shabbos for it, so it must be considered a sakana. If it weren't a sakana not to do it, then we wouldn't let you be Michal Shabbos for it. Sucking out the blood is Chil Shabbos. So what's the chiddush of Rav Papa that you fire him? Of course you fire a mo'el who's killing children. So says Gemara, Ma'u detema haida mifkat pakid, kamash blon chiburi mechbar, v'dum yudis polonis v'kmon. So mas polonis v'kmon ki lo avit sakanu, afachinami ki lo avit sakanuhu. I might have thought that really Mitzitza is not something that's necessary to save the life of the baby. It's not something that's a sakana to avoid doing mitzitza. Why does the Mishnah allow it on Shabbos? Because it's not chil Shabbos either. It's not dam chiburi michbar. The blood, you're not making a wound by cutting out by sucking out the blood. The blood is mifkat pocket. It's ki'ilu. It's sitting there in a stored up in a sack. It's not circulatory blood, and therefore would not be a violation of Shabbos. So that's why it's permissible to do it on Shabbos, because it's not a nisadar rice of Shabbos anyway. And therefore, if it's not a sakana, it's a moel who doesn't do matzitza, shouldn't be fired. So this is the source in Shas about mitzitza and about what the purpose of mitzitza is. Now, from the simple reading of the Gemara, seems very clear that the entire issue of mitzitza is refuah. It's for the sake of medicine. It's in order to keep the baby healthy. And the Chidushi Aran also writes, he says, V'dilma mitzitza mikri refuah v'lo tzorich milahu. He says, mitzitza is refuah. It's not a tzorich mila, it's a tzorich refuah. It's necessary for the baby. However, there are more Kabbalistic sources, Tikkunei Zohar, that suggest that Mitzitza is part of the Mila, like Mila Upriya, and there are a number of Tshuvas and Achronim dating back to the days of the Chassam Sofer about the importance of Mitzitza. It's interesting, the whole controversy about Mitzitza, meaning mostly centers around this issue. Do you hold that there's any Mila value, a halachic value of Mitzitza, or is it purely refuah? If it's purely refuah, current medical knowledge tells us that at best, it does nothing. And at worst, it could be very, very dangerous for a baby. So that if it's purely a refuah issue, then there's very strong reason to stop doing mitzitza, certainly mitzitza bepeh, if using a tube will save from infections or whatever. But if it's an issue of halacha, that it's part of the milah, so then you have all the arguments of shomer psoim Hashem, there's a chelik of the milah, that we don't change the milah, it's the first step in not doing milah entirely. So this controversy is not a recent controversy. It started in the 1830s when there was a doctor in Vienna put together a Mila pamphlet, and he discovered that that mitzitza is not really beneficial for the baby, and he thought that it might be dangerous for the baby. And there was a particular moel in his town who had done a lot of mitzitza bepeh, and there were a lot of babies that were very ill, and the doctor was convinced that it was from the mitzitza. So he asked his rav, and his rav went to ask his rebbe, the Chassam Sofer, what to do. And the Chassam Sofer is, I think, the earliest tshuva we have on the potential danger of mitzitza. Chassam Sofer is not printed in the normal tshuvas Chassam Sofer, but it was printed in the 1830s or 1840s when the Chassam Sofer was alive. This tshuva was printed when the Chassam Sofer said, if you're convinced that it's causing a health problem for the baby, so then you don't do mitzitza. Mitzitza is there for refuah. You should draw out the blood some other way. Meaning, obviously, there is a, if the Gemara says that it's healthy to draw out blood in some way, so draw it out some other way. Take some gauze and quickly squeeze it out. Do something like that. So that started the entire mitzitza controversy, and especially the reform really latched onto that, because they said, oh, the Chassam Sofer, the Chadash Asa Min HaTorah guy, the one who doesn't allow changing a single bit of a Minhag Yisrael, is willing to change mitzitza. So that became a very, very big deal, and continues. The debate continues to rage ad hayom hazeh. But anyway, the Gemara clearly seems to assume that it's an issue of refuah. Whatever sources seem to assume that it relates to a chelek of the mila aren't here. It's not in the Gemara. It's from different sources, Zohars and the like, that seem to suggest that it might be more than just an issue of refuah. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, v'nosna la ispalanis, and you should put ispalanis. That's a type of medication that they would put on the baby. So Amar Abaye, Amar li Aim. So Abaye says, Aim told me. Abaye again was adopted. Abaye was not his real name. He was adopted by Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, and that's why he's sometimes called Nachmeni, because Rabbi Bar Nachmeni named him after his own father. So Abaye said, Amar li Aim, Ispalnisa de Kulhun Kivi, the ointment for all pains, it should be made out of the following: Shev mina itarba, 7 parts fat, v'chad akira, and 1 part wax, and you mix them together, and that's going to do miracles. Rava amar kira v'kalba. Rava says it should be made best. Is made of wax. Kira v'kalba rishna, wax and resin. Zarsha Rava b'machuza. Karinu b'nei manyumi asyil manayu. So Rava darshan this in Machuza, and all of the doctors in Machuza tore their clothing. They were so upset that Rava was teaching this magical ointment that was going to cure all the ailments that people had, because now the doctors were going to be put out of business. My Chavrusa's father, Dr. Rasner, whenever he gives a lecture at the end, he always says a bracha that we should be zocha, that we should all be put out of business. Right? It's a hope that the doctors should all be put out of business, but these doctors were not particularly happy about this idea that they were going to be put out of business. So Amru Shafki Luchuchados. Rav said, "Don't worry, I left you one that I didn't tell anybody about. There's one ointment that no one knows about." Damar Shmuel, Haiman the Mashiapi v'lo nagiv tuva naktarulei chaspenisa, because Shmuel said if a person washes his face and he doesn't dry it very well, then boils are going to break out on his face. So my takante, how do you fix that problem that boils break out all over his face? So limshi tuva b'mayi desilka, he should rub it with cooked beets, and if you wash it with cooked beets, that's going to help for the boils. So in general, there are lots and lots of refuahs in the Gemara. We have 3 dapim straight in Maseches Gittin, where we go through various refuahs. Remember those days of Daf Yomi? Those are not easy. When we go through all the refuahs, and 99.9% of them are not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, because the halacha is we're not allowed to follow the refuahs of the Gemara. It's a cherem hakadmonim that you're not allowed to follow. The Rafu said it says in the Gemara, depending on different explanations of why, either because we don't know how to apply them, or we assume they were working with the medicine of their time, and we have to trust more advanced medicine. But for whatever reason, this Rafu is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Not clear why. This refuah of Limshi Tuva b'mayi desilka, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, or Chaim Simin Dalid, Sivchaf, it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Lo nesparish lanu mazeh, I don't know what this is, I don't know how this is, I don't know what to do with this, but it is a refuah that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Primogadim writes in Yardeh that he doesn't, Tardin lo yadana mahu v'lo ri'isa v'adhena. I don't know what Tardin is. We generally translate it as beets, but maybe there's some issue as to what exactly this refuah is, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure why this one made it into Shulchan Aruch and all the others didn't. Lo shachak me'erev Shabbos. So the Mishnah had said that if you didn't grind up the ointments on Erev Shabbos, so you should grind it up with his teeth on Shabbos. So Tan Rabban, Dvarim Shein Osin L'Mila B'Shabbos, Osin L'B'Yomtiv. Things that you're not allowed to do for Mila on Shabbos, you are allowed to do for Mila on Yomtiv. Shochin L'Kamon V'Torfin L'Yayin V'Shemen. You're allowed to grind up the Kamon and you're allowed to mix together the wine and the oil. Amle Abay L'Rav Yosef, Maishna K'mon V'Yomtiv T'Chazi L'Kedera. So he says, what's the difference between the Kamon and Yomtiv, which is right to use for cooking, and that's why you're allowed to do it on Yantiv, because it's an ochel nefesh need, and once it's mutter for ochel nefesh, mutter for everything. Yain v'shemen chazinami b'shabbos l'chola. Well, yain and shemen is ro'oi on Shabbos for a chola. So shouldn't you be allowed to do it on Shabbos? Titania, ain't tarfin yain v'shemen l'chola b'shabbos. You're not allowed to mix together yain and shemen for a chola on Shabbos. Amr b'shemen alazer mishum rameir af tarfin yain v'shemen. Reb Shimon Elazar says the name rameir, you can even be torif, you can even mix yain v'shemen. Amr b'shim ben Elazar, pamachas chash Reb Meir b'meyav. One time Reb Meir was sick, ubikashnu litro v'lo yayin v'shemen v'lo inachnu. So we wanted to mix together wine and oil for him, but he wouldn't allow us. Amarnu lo dvarecha yivtulu b'chayecha. So he said to him, no, this is the machlokas, you and everyone else, you hold tarfin yayin v'shemen, that you're allowed to do it. So during your lifetime already, we should be mevatel your words. Amar lanu, afal pisha ani omer kach, v'chaveri omer kach, miyome lo melani libi lavar al divrei chaveri. Even though I'm convinced that I'm right, I hold one way, my chaverim hold the other way, but in all my days, I would never have the audacity to go against what my chaverim say. So if my chaverim say it's aser, even though I hold it's mutter, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be nohag that way. So says the Gemara, yeah, he wouldn't be knowing that way personally, but still he holds that technically it is it should really be mutter. So the kasha is that the Mishnah, which is presumably authored by Reb Meir, says that mixing wine and oil is not permitted on Shabbos, and the Brisa says that Reb Meir only refused to have it mixed on Shabbos because lo melani libi al lavar al divrei chaverai. He didn't want to violate the opinion of the other Tanaim, but technically he holds it's mutter. So it's a stira between the Brisa and the Mishnah. In the Mishnah it seems to say that it's aser. Here in the Brisa, Reb Meir says that it's mutter, and that other people besides for him, outside of this personal anhaga that he had, he would say that it's mutter. So says the Gemara, a big difference. Hasam lo ba'ilicha, hacha ba'ilicha. It depends how much vigorous mixing it requires. If it requires a lot of vigorous mixing, so then it's not going to be mutter, but it's going to be mutter if it doesn't require so much. Hachanami navid. So why don't we suggest the same thing over here? Why don't we suggest in our Mishnah, if they didn't do the mixing before, why do we say just put in the wine and the shemen separately? Why don't we say do it and don't mix it so vigorously? So says the Gemara, that's exactly what we do say. Haynu dekatani, zen nosin b'fnei atzmo, v'zen nosin b'fnei atzmo. That's what that means. Zen nosin b'fnei atzmo, v'zen nosin b'fnei atzmo means don't mix it all that well. That's and that way it's mutter. It's mutter to mix it in a less vigorous way. That is the answer to the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa in Shitas Rabbi Meir. Says the Gemara Vayit. Now Tan Rabbanan, ein misanin in a sachardol v'misanin a shalom. We're not allowed to strain mustard seeds in a strainer. Vein mamtikin osa begachelos. We also can't sweeten it by using burning coals. Amleah by the Rav Yosef, Maishna mehadetan losim beitzav misanin a shalchardol. Why is this any different than that which the Mishnah says that you're allowed to put an egg in a misanenes shel chardol? Putting an egg through a mustard strainer apparently is beneficial. It helps keep the color of the mustard and it keeps it fresh. So amalei hasam lo mechzi kiborer, hacha mechzi kiborer. The difference is whether it looks like borer or not. So even though the Braisa doesn't allow straining mustard seeds through a mustard strainer on Yantif, we allow putting an egg through a mustard strainer because lo mechzi kiborer, it doesn't look like he's sorting the egg. The mustard seeds putting through a mustard strainer looks a lot more like sorting. It looks a lot more like one is violating borer. Vein mimatkin oso begacheles. Also, we said not to sweeten it using coals. V'atani mimatkin oso begacheles. But we have a brisa that says you can sweeten it by using coals. Lo kasha kan begacheles shel mateches kan begacheles shel eitz. Difference between different types of coals. If it's a gacheles shel Mateches, metal coals, is going to be a little different than wooden coals. We're going to be more machmir with wooden coals because it's more of a chashash of mechabe that you're going to come to extinguish. Amle Abay le Rav Yosef, Maishnabi Bisra Gumri. Why is this any different than when you put meat over wooden coals? And apparently there's no concern that one is good, that even though the juices will extinguish the flame, and we're not concerned about the extinguishing of the wooden coals. Amle Hasam lo Efshar, Hacha Efshar, because over there there's no other way to roast the meat. Over here, there are other ways to do this. There are other ways to be mamtik the mustard. You don't have to use wooden coals. You can use metal coals. Amle Abay le Rav Yosef mal le gavin. So Abay asks Rav Yosef, what about making cheese? Can you make cheese on Yantif? Amle aser. He says absolutely not. You cannot make cheese. Amle Maishan Lisha. Why should this be any different than Lisha, which we do allow on Yantif? Amle hasan lo efshar hacha efshar. Now over there, what else are you going to do? You have no choice. If you want to make fresh food, you're going to need to do lisha on yantif. But to make cheese, you could have done that on erev yantif. I've rami nardai gavina bas yoma ma'alia. But didn't nardai teach us that one day old gavina is the best? So meaning the, not one day old, meaning of that made that day is the best. So it's not something you could have done with equal effectiveness before yantif. If you would have done it with equal effectiveness before yantif, it won't be of that cheese made that day, and it won't be the best fresh cheese anymore. So achi kamri, tafilu gvina bas yom amalia. No, what they meant to say is, even cheese made that day is good, but certainly cheese that was made the day before would be even better. That's what it means to say, but not that cheese made the day before is in some way any worse than cheese made on that day. The Ramban writes in the Chidushim and Shas on Sadihei Maral, 40 days ago when we did that, the Ramban writes that it's an issur drabanan to make cheese on Yantif, because certainly it's got to be just an issue of uvda d'chol, because certainly min haTorah it's mutter, because this is not machshirei ochel nefesh, this is ochel nefesh mamish, meaning you make it's food making, so it's got to be that it's really mutter min haTorah. He says this has to be just an issur drabanan, the issue of making cheese, because of some sort of uvda d'chol type of issue. Okay, so the Gemara says further now, two dots. Ain osin lachalik, that you're not allowed to make the bandage from scratch on Shabbos for the baby. So Amar Abayi, Amar Li Aim. So Abayi says that Aim told me, Hay chalik the yanuka lifne l'sitra li'ilai, that if you want to make the bandage of the baby, so you turn up the hem of the bandage upward, dilma midbik gardamine, because you don't want any loose strands to attach to the wound, vasil de kroshivcha, because then it could mutilate the baby. You'll turn the baby into kroshivcha. Emid Abayi of the kista salapalga. She made a lining along half of the bandage. Amr Abayi, hain yunuka delesle chaluk. If a baby doesn't have the bandage, laisli belisa disle sifsa. They should bring a rag that has a hem. Velichruche l'sifsa l'sasai, and they should fold over the hem to the downward. Va'yafleli ilai, and then stretch it out upwards. Rashi explains the liimra shabisfas pia yapuch v'yikapel l'mala. The right by the edge of the garment, they should of this bandage, they should fold it toward the top. Shalote smuch lebasaro, so that it doesn't get too close to the flesh of the baby. Because that's where there are loose strands, and that's where we're afraid it's going to get into the wound, and it's going to therefore cause the baby to become a kroshivcha. Vamar Abayi, Amar Li Aim. Abayi says another bit of advice from Aim. If you have a baby that you can't tell where it defecates from, you can't tell where its waste is supposed to come out of. Obviously, this baby is deformed significantly, and they can't tell where the anus is. So the they should rub him with oil, and stand him up across, right in the sun, and wherever it's transparent, that's where you should cut him open with a sharp piece of barley in a cross-like motion. But don't use a metal cleat to cut him open. You can only use a piece of barley, because if you use a metal cleat, it will cause inflammation. It's not going to be good. Rabbi says, Aim said to me, Vaiter, how you look at the lamayitz, if a If a baby refuses to nurse, make her duck or pume, it's because his mouth is cold. So maitakante, what should you do? Leise kasa gomri, take a cup full of burning coals. Vilintkete le lahade pume, dechayis pume umayitz, and put it near his mouth. Dechayim pume umayitz, put it near his mouth will be warmed by that, and then he'll be willing to nurse. The Ben Yoyada says this is can be explained al pi musr. Hayanuka de lo mayitz, a baby who doesn't want to nurse, is a Talmud that doesn't see a simin bracha in his limud. He learns and he keeps forgetting. And the reason is because the maker karpume, he's not learning with enough hislavus, he's not learning with enough excitement. So maita kante, how do you fix it? You bring kasu gumre. Divrei chachamim are compared to gechalim. The words of chachamim are like coals. So he has to hear words that from Rebbeim that are like gachalei esh, that are matil ema on the person, that inspire and that frighten to a certain extent. Like Rabbi Shimon says, Lubino says the Ben Yoyadin Subastav Kuf Gimel, Zrok Mara b'talmidim kedei sheyilmud b'cheshek v'chamimus, and then Talmudim Miskayim b'yadam. That you have to put some fear. Sometimes you have to yell a little bit. You have to make it exciting in the learning, and that will make their learning last. That's what called Talmud Sheyoshev Pnei Rabbo. The Gemara says earlier in the Masech and Daf Lamed, that any Talmud that sits in front of his Rebbe, Veinsif Sosav Notfos Mar Machmas Ema Tichvena, and he doesn't have that little bit of fear on his lips, then he's not going to be successful in his learning. Vam Rabbi Amrli Aim. So Rabbi says another bit of advice from Aim. Hayinuka Delo Menashte, a baby who's not breathing easily, they should fan him with a fan, and that will help him breathe. If another baby doesn't breathe easily, they should bring the afterbirth of his mother, and they should slide it on his flesh, and then he will become better. He'll be able to breathe easy. Abai says also, Aim told me, if a baby is emaciated, they should bring the afterbirth, the ime of his mother, and they should rub it on him, from the narrow end toward the wider end. The alim, but if the baby is bloated, they should go in the opposite direction, from the wider end to the narrow end, to try to narrow out the baby. If a baby has a reddish complexion, it's because the blood hasn't become absorbed in his regular bloodstream yet. So they should wait until the dam becomes part of his body and is really settled in his body, and then they should give him a mila. The yarok, if he has a greenish complexion, so then and the dam is not yet nafal in him, the dam has not yet come in. Again, they should wait. Don't do the mila on time. You wait until the dam is normal, and once the dam is normal, then you do the bris mila. In connection to that, the Gemara tells two stories. Detanya, Amar Rabbi Nassim, Pam achas halachti l'krachayam, ubasi isha achas l'fanai, shemala ben arishon umeis, sheni umeis. One time I went to a certain place, and a woman came to me. She had mauled her first child, and he died. She mauled her second child, he died. Shlishi v'yasa l'fanai. She had a third baby now. She had a third baby boy, and the first two are dead, and she brought him to me. Re'isif shu'adam, and I saw that he was red. Amarti la hamtini lo achi yivla baldamo. So I said to her, wait until Yivl Baldamo. He diagnosed the baby immediately. And sure enough, she waited, she gave him a bris mila, and the baby lived. And they named the baby Nasna Bavli after me, because it's because of me that he's alive today. Another time, I went to Kaputkia. Ubasi ishal achas lefanai shemala ben arishon umeis, sheni umeis, shlishi v'yasa lefanai. Again, similar story. The first two babies died. She brought the third baby to me. Re'isiv shu yarok, and I saw that, not that he was too red, but I saw that he was yarok. I saw that he had a greenish complexion. He tzatzti bov lo re'isi bo dam bris. So I looked and I saw that he didn't have any dam bris. Amarti laham tini la chipa bo damo. So again, it said, wait until the dam comes into the body. Vim tina lo, she waited. malos of Achaya, and gave him a bris milah, and sure enough, he survived. Vayikorin Shemo, Nasna Bavli al Shemi. And they called him after my name, they called him Nasna Bavli. So this, there's a lot in these stories. One of the issues, one of the side issues that people don't talk about so much in these stories, is when you name a baby, is it appropriate to name after a great rabbi, or is it appropriate to name after a family member? Abaye, the Amr Liyeim, Abaye was named after a family member, or an adoptive family member. Also a good shayla about adoptive family members. But over here, this was Nasan Bavli, named after this great rabbi, this great sage. So the Gemara tells us in Bab Metzia, Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon one day came to the Beis Medrash and had to paskin on blood stains from 60 different women. And after analyzing all the stains, he realized, he paskined that all the women were tahar, and they were all able to go to their husbands. They all went to the they all went home that night, and they conceived that night. They all conceived male children, and it says that they all named them Eliezer after Rabbi Shimon. So you see, that's one source of naming after a great rabbi. You have this story in the Gemara over here. Sefer Bris quotes from Sefer Chemda Genuza, the story of the birth of the Ramban's grandson, that even though the minhag was to name the first child after the father's side, the Ramban told the son to name the child after the child, after the child's maternal grandmother, Rabbeinu Yonah, because he was also the Rebbe of the child's father, and the honor of a Rebbe would beat out the honor that you would give to a parent. So again, it's an indication that Sefer Bris quotes from Sefer Chemda Genuza, that that honoring after a great rabbi is something. However, the Medrash says that in the earlier generations, when people knew how to, were familiar with the history of their ancestors, they would name their children based on events surrounding their birth. But nowadays, where people need the reminder of where we come from, so nowadays it's much better we name after the we name after family. Another opinion of the Medrash says that the reason we name after family nowadays is and not around circumstances and making up names is because we lost Ruach HaKodesh. But whatever it is, the Medrash seems to assume that we name after family. Again, we have Abaye, which is also seems to be a family related issue. That's Rashi in Gittin on Lamed Daled Amud Beis about Abaye. V'hilchsa k'nach Rashi identifies that the Nachmeni is Abaye. The Gilyan Ashas over there quotes from the Aruch that maybe Abaye's real name was Nachmeni. Rabbah just refused to call him by that name because it was his father's name. So Rabbah couldn't call him that. So as a nickname, he called him Abaye Milashon Av. Also, the Stechemet quotes from a Sefer Shela Shalom that the minhag to name for a family member is a very old minhag from the fact that Ram Gamliel named his son Shimon after his father, and the younger Shimon named his own son Gamliel after his father. So you see that it went along family lines. So that's what you find in the monks Hasidim a lot of times. They're always naming after the Rebbes. You find in Lubavitch a lot of Menachem Mendels, and Satmar you find a lot of Yailishes. But so there are sources in both directions, to name after a Rebbe, to name after a family member. Some suggest that you should look for a family member first, and if you don't have any direct family members, then it's appropriate to name after Tzaddik. Zecher Tzaddik Levracha, that's a good way to remember a Tzaddik. There are a couple of other issues that come up over here. The Gemara in Yavama says that Mala Rishon Umeis, Sheni Umeis, Shlishi Lo Timal, that if you mal two babies and they die, then you're not supposed to mal the third baby. So there's a machlokas over there in the Rishonim. The Rif and the Rush write it Stam, Shlishi Lo Timal, meaning never mal the baby. But the Muka Yosef over there and the Rambam in Hilchos Milah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Ches, and the Tur in Yerdes and Resh Samach Gimel say no, Lo Timal Bizmano, don't give the baby the Mila Bizmano, rather wait until he gets strength, until he's strong enough to be able to handle the Mila. So the Nodabida asks, how could Rabbi Nassim mal this third baby when it's Yivla Damo? He didn't diagnose the first two children. How does he know that that was the problem with the first two children? Maybe there was some other problem. So the Nodabida wonders, how in the world Rabbi Nassim was allowed to do this? He should have been choshish that maybe the first two children were not Yarok or Adam and they still died, even though because maybe that's some other disease. Maybe they're hemophiliacs or something. So he says, Elavadai, even when they're Enum Adum V'Yerokim and they're Mesum Nachmas Mila, so you see that that even so, like the Rambam says, if the third baby, if you wait till he has koach, if you wait till he's stronger, then you're allowed to do it. It has nothing to do with whether the first babies were red, were green, were whatever. You're only not allowed to do it so long as the baby is weak. But once the baby regains his strength, So that's what the Rambam paskins. Then you're supposed to do the bris milah on that baby. Okay, let's see right to the Gemara. Mishnah on Rambam Beis. Marchitzna sakatan bein lefnei milah bein lachar milah. You could wash off a baby both before the bris milah and and after the bris milah, and you could sprinkle on him the warm water with your hand, but not with a kli. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer marchitz nasakatan biyom ashlishi shchalios b'shabbes. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you could bathe the baby when his third day of his milah falls on Shabbos. Nemar vayibayom ashlishi biyosam koavim. Because you see, the third day of milah was the day that Shimon and Levi chose to attack Shechem, because that was the day that they're weakest. Safik v'androgen esayim mechalin of his Shabbos. If you have a suffix and an androgynous, so you're not going to be mechal Shabbos to do the milah. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'androgynous. Rabbi Yehuda says for an androgynous it's mutter, that there is a chiv to do the milah, and it could even be docha Shabbos. So frankly, Gemara v'amr reisha marchitzin, but didn't we say in the reisha that we are marchitzin? So then how does it make sense that the reisha of the Mishnah says that we're allowed to bathe the baby before and after the milah on Shabbos, and then says biyada v'lobekli, it's got to be done in an unusual way? So which is it? Can you do it normally? Does it have to be done with some sort of shinui? So Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabba Baravu Adamri Travayu Ketzad Tani. The Mishnah is supposed to be read with a Ketzad. That Marchitzin Asakatam Beilin Fnei Amila Beilin Achar Amila. You're allowed to bathe the baby before the Mila, after the Mila. Ketzad Mizalfin of the Yad of a Lobakli. We got to add in the word Ketzad. How so? How do you bathe the baby? Not in any way. You have to dafka do it biyad, but not bikli. But it doesn't say that. It says marchitzin. Marchitzin sounds like you could bathe the baby normally. Elo amarava hachi katani. So Rava says, now this is how you read the Mishnah. Marchitzin es hakatan. Bein mi lefnei mila, bein mi achara mila, biyom arishon kedarko. You could bathe the baby before the mila, after the mila, on the first day with normal bathing, regular bathing. Ubiyom ashlishi shchalios b'shabbos, mizalfin lov liyad avalo b'kli. But if the third day falls on Shabbos, and you want to bathe the baby on the third day, then you do it biyad avalo b'kli. So that line of mizalfin lov liyad avalo b'kli goes on the next line of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah of biyom ashlishi, not on the previous line of bathing a baby before and after the mila. It's all where you put the comma or where you put the paragraph break in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, along those lines of bathing the baby on the third day, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Marchitzin es hakatan biyom ashlishi shchalios b'shabbos. You're even allowed to bathe the baby normally when the third day falls on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah disagreeing with the Tanakama. Shnemar vayi biyom ashlishi biyosum kavim, based on the pasuk. Tani kavase de Rava. We have a brayso that supports Rava's reading of the Mishnah. Again, Rava's the one that understood that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allows normal bathing of a baby on the third day after the bris when it falls on Shabbos, and the Tanakama holds no, third day after when it falls on Shabbos is biyad avalo bekli. So we have a brayso that says like this: Marchitz nakatan bein lefnei mila bein liachar mila biyom rishon kedarko. That on the first day it could be even kedarko. That's like Rava read it. Ubiyom ashlishi shchalios b'Shabbos. Zalfin love biyad, but when it's the third day that falls on Shabbos, then you got to use a yad, not to kli. Rav Elazar ben Azariah omer marchitz nesakatan biyom ashlishi shchalios b'shabbos. Af bishen rayil davar zechul davar shnemar vayibay mashlishi biyosum kavim. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, now on the third day, you're even allowed to do it normally. You don't have to use biyad of a little kli. So we have a brisa that reads the Gemara, reads the Mishnah exactly the way Rava did. The brisa supports Rava 100%. Ukshem mizalfin ein mizalfin lo b'kos v'lo b'ka'ara. When they do the ziluf, when they do the sprinkling of the warm water, they shouldn't use a kos or a ka'ara, rather, nor any other sort of kli, rather they should do it by hand. Asal natanakama. So that assumes, like the Tanakama. So, that line that you're not allowed, that you have to do it biyad is like the Tanakama, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that you could even do it bikli. So, my afal pishein raya l'davar zeich l'davar, what did the Brisa mean when it says that even though there's no raya l'davar, that on the third day you're allowed to bathe the baby, but there is a zeich l'davar? Mishum de gadol lo salik bisra heya, katan salik bay bisra heya, meaning, why is this not a raya? Obviously, the third day was a very dangerous time. That's why you two men were able to kill out an entire city. Isn't that a very good raya? So says the Gemara, no, because by an adult it may be more dangerous. The third day by an adult, it could be that his wounds don't heal as quickly. But for a child on the third day, may not be as bad. A child's wounds might heal much more quickly than an adult's wounds do. So someone came to Rava with a shayla, and Rava paskind to do like he said. He allowed washing the baby kidarko on the first day that fell on Shabbos when the milah happened on Shabbos. So he allowed washing the baby in the normal way. Ichlash Rava, then Rava became a chole, he became sick, and he was afraid everything that happened to the Amoraim, they assumed, related to some sort of onesh min hashamayim. They assumed that it was because a direct result of something that they did, that they were zocha to that level of hashkacha. So he got sick, and he figured it had something to do with something he had just done. So Amar anabadi targim the sabi lamali. So he said, what did I get involved with? Why did I have to argue on the zakenim in the way they interpreted the Mishnah, and come up with my own interpretation of the Mishnah and paskin that way? Meaning, he disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua in their interpretation of the Mishnah. They held that the Mishnah should be read with a ketzad, that even on the first day, you have to bathe with the shinur, you're not allowed to bathe directly. So Rava's lamenting, why do I have to get involved in such things? Why do I have to argue? Amalei Rabbanan l'Rava. So the Rabbanan said to Rava, listen, you know, I understand you don't want to argue on the other rabbis, but you're right about this one. V'atanya kavasei demar. There's a brisa that says exactly like you. You were correct. He says, yeah, the Braisa says just like me, but the Mishnah is more meduyak, like their shita. From the fact that the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that you can wash the baby on the third day that falls on Shabbos. If the Tanakhama was saying that you're only allowed to be mezalef, so then I understand why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has to say marchitzin. But if you read like me, that the Tanakhama says that you're allowed to be marchitz even biyom rishon, you're allowed to bathe the baby even on yom rishon, or mezalfin biyom hashlishi, and you're mezalif on yom hashlishi, so the Tanakhama is already talking about being mezalif. The Tanakhama is saying you could be being rochitz. So hi, Rav Elazar ben Azariah omer marchitzin. Af marchitin mi baile. It shouldn't say Rav Elazar ben Azariah yom marchitin, as if he's introducing the idea. It should be af marchitin biyom hashlishi, that not only can you be marchitz biyom harishon, like the Tanakhama says, you could even be marchitz biyom hashlishi. That would have been the more appropriate lashon if the Mishnah is saying the way I interpreted the Mishnah to be saying. Kiyas Rav Dimi yom Rav Elazar halach Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So he says, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Hava baba ma'arava, harchatzos kol gufo, or harchatzos mila. Okay, so we said we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that on the third day you could be marchitz the baby in the normal way. So what does that mean? Does that mean the entire body of the baby? Or does that just mean the area of the mila itself that you're allowed to bathe? It's most mistaver that it means the entire body. Because if it's just harchatzos mila, would this be any worse? Would this be any different than applying some warm water to a wound, which you're allowed to do anyway? So what would be the big kunz over here, dafka by mila? So it must be that we're talking about bathing the entire body. You're allowed to put warm water or oil on a makkah on Shabbos. That's not a violation of refuah. Maskef l'Rav Yosef v'lo shani lach bein chamed shulchum b'Shabbos l'chamed shulchum me'erv Shabbos. He says, no, it is a great chiddush by mila, because by other makos that you're allowed to put some warm water on, that's warm water that was warmed before Shabbos. The kunz over here, the chiddush over here, is that this is water that was warmed on Shabbos. So it could be that it's only on the wound, and it's still a chiddush by mila. So Maskef Rav Dimi, my dahach b'chamed shulchum b'Shabbos pligi, the b'chamed shulchum me'erv Shabbos pligi. Who told you we're talking about warm water that was warmed on Shabbos? Maybe the discussion in our Mishnah is water that was warmed on Erev Shabbos, and the whole issue is only a refuah related issue. It's not about warming the water. Amar Abaye, Ano Abaye de Ishni Lei, V'kadam V'shani Lei Rav Yosef, Mibnei Shal Sakana Hulo. Abaye says, I wanted to give an answer, but Rav Yosef already preempted me, and he gave an answer of how we know that this is talking about water that's being warmed on Shabbos, because the Mishnah says Mnesha Sakana Hilo, because it's a Sakana. So if the reason you're allowed to do this is because of Sakana, so then that's obvious that we're allowing Chil Shabbos, right? So if it's Mnesha Sakana, so then it must be that it's we're talking about water that's warmed on Shabbos. Itmanami Kiyasa Rav Nami Rabbi Yavoa Amr Lazav Rami La Amr Rabbi Yavoa Amr Rabbi Yochanan Halach Krav Lazav Ben Azariah Bein Becham In Shulchum B'Shabbos Bein Becham In Shulchum Me'erav Shabbos Bein Archatzos Kol Gufo, Bein Archatzos Mila, Mibnei Shasakana Hilo, that you're allowed to bathe the baby with warm water on Shabbos, whether it's warm water that was warmed before Shabbos, on Shabbos, whether you're just washing the makom mila, you're washing the entire body, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah across the board that all of these things are mutter. Gufa, Amar Rav, ein monel chamin v'shemin me'al gabi makom b'Shabbos. We do not withhold warm water or oil from a wound on Shabbos. Shmuel amar nosi chutz l'makom v'shos v'yari the makom. Shmuel says no, you put it right near the makom and you let it drip onto the makom. Meisve ein osin shemin v'chamin al gabi mochlitin al gabi makom b'Shabbos. Shabbos, we don't put shemen and chamin onto a gauze in order to put onto a wound on Shabbos. So hasam mishum schita. No, over there it's an issue of schita. It's a different issue. We're afraid you're going to squeeze it out of the gauze. Tashma einos and chamin v'shemen al gabi moch shal gabi makom b'Shabbos. You don't apply it to a bandage that's on a wound on Shabbos. Hasam nami mishum schita. That's also a schita concern. Tani kavas ed shmuel einos and chamin v'shemen al gabi makom b'Shabbos. Av nos and chutz the makom v'shosis v'yored the makom. Bryce says exactly this way. You don't apply it directly. You put it chutz the makom near the makom. And you let it drip down onto the makkah. Tan Rabban Nosan al Gabe a makkah moch yavesh, usfog yavesh, avalo gemi yavesh, velok sisni veshin. You could put a dry moch or a dry sponge on the makkah, but not a dry reed nor dry rags. So kashuk sisna ksisin. So we have a stira in terms of what you're allowed to do with rags. The Reisha says moch yavesh is okay, and moch yavesh is made out of ksisin. And then the Sefer says ksisin is not okay, but it's the same thing. So lo kasha, habichadati habaatiki. If it's brand new ones that were never on a makkah before, so then it has a very high therapeutic value. But older ones don't have such therapeutic value, and therefore are mutter. Amravai shmaimna haniksisin masu. So you see that new moch has the ability to actually make the wound better. It's like a medicated bandage. It's not just stam a bandage that you're putting on a wound. Okay.